Welcome to Micro, a podcast for short but powerful writing. I'm your host, Drew Hawkins. Foul breath and foils, half stories and half truths. From the top of the stairs to the attic, enter the looking glass with three ominous shorts on this episode. Our first piece is as layered as a flight of stairs, emphasizing the connection between past, present, and future. It's called Vertigo, or A Swarming of Ghosts. It was written by Ross Showalter and published in Rejection Letters. Enjoy.
Whenever I stare down a flight of stairs, I feel closer to that. When I was 5, I almost tumbled downstairs. That would have been easier then, but my balance forgot that day. My daddy said, "I didn't push you," when I turned to face him. 40 years later, I think of him still, whenever I look down. My vision dreams every time. Another man that I feel eyes in my back every time I climb. Another man that I drift from my husband for any reason. Never mind. They all share the past just behind me now.
Ross Showalter is a short story writer, essayist, and critic based in the Pacific Northwest. You can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Ross Showalter, or on his website at rossshowalter.com. Tension rises in our second piece, Slipping into the Forest with a Witch. It's called Let It Out. It was written by Cheryl Pappas and published in the Leon Literary Review. Enjoy.
Let it out. I stole my witch from the forest years ago. She's with me today in my purse as I walk the mossy path with my children. She's niggling and fussing at me, clamping her gums at me. Slap, slap, slap. I zip her up. I show the girls the lines of an oak leaf and how they are like constellations. You can always trace them. You just need to know how to look. They are young, my girls. They ask about origins, but not about their father anymore. I tell them mostly what I know, but I've never explained about the witch. She nestles next to me at night, in bed, hisses that my breath is foul. "Do you like to burn, girl?" she says to me most nights, around 2. My husband died at that time. He was at his lover's house and there was a terrific fire. Not a thing left, not even a letter or a shoe. Soon after that, I found my witch in the forest. She was sitting on a branch over the creek. I thought she was a girl's doll at first, but I knew. I snuck her in my purse. I knew what for. Today we're here again. I might put her back. I might stuff her tiny mouth with moss. I might bury her in the mud. I might drown her in the creek. I might keep her. I might have lit the match.
Cheryl Pappas is the author of the flash fiction chapbook, The Clarity of Hunger, published by Word West Press. You can find her on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Fabulous Pappas, or on her website at CherylPappas.net. Our third and final piece entangles roles of parents, lovers, language, and identity, with two children and an intimate game of dress-up. Written by Celeste Chin and published in Shenandoah Literary, it's called Vows. Enjoy.
The first time I watched Godfrey juicing Ma's perfume across his shoulders, he's been living in our attic for about a week. "Don't tell anyone," he says, holding a finger to his mouth. He's drawn his lips on ribbon-like, and they're so red they hug his face like two freshly cleaved tongues. Ma could easily mistake him for a ghost, I'm thinking, and this is why I nod. "Sure," I say, all careless. "Sure, I won't say anything at all." Godfrey's mother is dead. According to Ma, Godfrey is living with us because his father is in trouble, and our mothers were best friends. Except she doesn't say were. Everyone knows there's no real past tense in Chinese, that everything just continues, just goes on and on until people's mouths forget the shape of words, or until the words themselves stop existing. It's easy to erase a memory like that. Stamp out numbers like 6 and 4. Maybe even 1997 one day. You can guess the rest. Once, Ma could have broken the friendship. She could have said, "Stop. I don't want this anymore. I don't want your son." But she didn't, and Godfrey's mother didn't. So here we are, marinating in half stories and half truths. Godfrey is living with us. This is true. His father is in trouble. Possible, but unverifiable. Our mothers were best friends. See? A half truth and a half story. One missing an end. Just a mouth, no asshole. How did she die, I want to ask. Ma warns me against mentioning Godfrey's mother, so I shut my mouth and clench my asshole, islanding myself. "Happy you're here," I say instead. The next time I step into the attic, Godfrey's wearing Ma's old sundress. She hasn't worn it in years, had stopped wearing it after Ba died. In this way, Godfrey is stealing from us, from me. "You're not my mother," I say when he turns around, and he nods. "I am not your mother." He pleats the dress at its empire waist, bunching up the fabric. "What's it like, though?" he asks. "What's it like, being a girl?" He turns in the mirror and tilts his hips down and up until they bracket the air, till they make a bowl around nothing. "I don't know," I say, "but you're wearing it all wrong." I tell him to close his eyes, and when he does, I anoint him with Ma's secret scent, blurring jasmine across his forehead, even though I tell him it's jessamine, the word soft and smooth, like our brains smudging against bone. Afterwards, I show Godfrey where she hides the glass vial. Our fingers tangled, we swaddle it up in scarves that predate the idea of me. When we pull apart, he looks right like a weed blooming from the carpet. I tell him so, my insides already jealous, and he laughs. "I think you're a better fit," he says. "I can already feel it." Then he looks at me thoughtfully. "Next time," I say. "Next time, we'll trade." Here is a story that's missing a beginning. A magic trick. What Godfrey and I do in the attic is this. He hides in my skin and I in his. "What's it like?" he'll ask, and he'll press his mouth against the crook of my elbow or along the bend behind my knee. He'll whisper into it, into each crack of me. Each hole. "Hung," I'll answer, and he'll giggle at the trick of language, the way it shrouds what I mean. "Hung" as in breast. "Hung" as in hollow. The same tone, the meaning lashed with different strokes. "Hung," he'll repeat dazedly. We chatter the words until it wriggles along our mouths. "Godfrey," I'll whisper afterwards, kissing my reflection. And I'll see Godfrey's chest and Godfrey's face and Godfrey's cock. "Thank you," Godfrey will say behind me, and he'll lull out the words with my lips, with the stem of my throat. In another world, one of rivers and blown glass skies and wild swordsmen, one where women make carrion of men with poison and dagger, we would swear a blood oath, the sort where we prick our fingers and collect the juice into a patient chalice. We would swirl in the drops and cut them with wine, coppering it with our promise. We would raise our hands as if hugging a tree, then bow. And finally, we would seam our lips around the rim and slide brotherhood, hot and steaming, into our muscular bellies. This story is not a new one. If I died, you would become wife to my husband and mother to my children, I say in Godfrey's voice while looking into my eyes. If I died, you would become husband to my wife, father to my children, he returns. Our bodies steeple in the indigo night. There is nothing more to hide, nothing more to say. Our faces mirror each other, our bodies too.
Celeste Chin writes in her living room, which smells like turpentine. You can find her on Twitter at celestish_, or on her website at celesteceleste.card.co. Micro is edited and curated by Dylan Evers and produced and hosted by me, Drew Hawkins. Our theme song is by Matt Ordez. You can find more of our shows on LitHub, our website at micropodcast.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our new interview series with Kirsten Renaud called 5 Q's with Kirsten for some really great, short, and insightful talks with writers featured on the show. We've got a full transcript of this episode up on our website and subtitles for those who need it on our YouTube page, which you can find on our website as well. Check out the show notes for links to the pieces featured on this episode and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Podcast Micro. Thanks for listening.